Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jana Hollingsworth, who is an intuitive coach and medium who works with spirit guides to gain insights into understanding and releasing your blocks and subconscious belief systems that no longer serve you. She writes her own articles, has a question and answer section on her website, and she believes that her mission is to connect you to your spiritual path and purpose. So without further ado, welcome to the program, Jana.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm sure it will prove to be a very interesting time. I'd like to start, I guess, where everybody does, and that is at the beginning, and ask you how you got into this type of work.
Well, for me, it was just quite natural because I grew up with a mom who's psychic. And so, you know, every day I would come home from school, and instead of the usual, you know, moms having their snacks ready at the kitchen table, you know, for their kids, I'd come home to my mom doing psychic readings at our kitchen table. So, you know, the psychic phenomena at a very young age just seemed part of my day-to-day life for me. So it was just a natural progression that I would end up getting into this.
Right. So how did it develop from your being familiar with it through your mother's work? How did that affect you?
Well, for me, it wasn't until my later years that I realized I actually had psychic ability. I just sort of, you know, as a child, I would have predictive dreams. I would just sort of know things. And I was also a very good connector with people. So I was constantly, you know, hooking people up with each other that I knew somehow, some way could help each other. And I just never knew that this was part of my psychic ability. I just kind of thought everybody, you know, did these kind of things. And it really wasn't until I was in my 20s and my dad died of lung cancer. And about 2 or 3 days after he passed, I was sleeping. And in the middle of the night, I felt somebody shaking my leg to wake me up. And I looked down at the end of my bed, and my dad was sitting there, and he said that he had just come by to let me know that he was okay and that everything with me was going to be fine. And then that was sort of my journey into the whole medium thing.
Yes. So did you from that particular point in time then regularly get visits from people in spirit?
You know, I started to not so much see them, but hear them. And my dad was the only one that I actually saw. And then from there, I would start to get, you know, messages from my crossed-over loved ones, like my grandmother and people like that. And then it just sort of developed into being able to bring in other spirits for other people as well.
Yeah. So initially, I guess the messages were more personal, but did they contain any element of sort of spiritual knowledge or teachings?
You know, I think at first they eased me into it, you know, just very gently, and it was sort of them, you know, the people that were connected to me just sort of coming through to say hello and, you know, to sort of just let me know that they were around and things like that. And then what really kind of kick-started everything was a friend of mine bought me a Ouija board 1 year for my birthday. And
oh, yeah.
I had always been very afraid of those because I've heard so many, you know, awful things like you can bring bad spirits in through them and so forth. But
yeah.
My mom gave me some pointers on how to use it and, you know, to only bring in highly evolved spirits. And I was on it one night, and I was by myself, and my grandmother came through, and she said, "You're supposed to be a coach to people, like an intuitive coach." And
yeah.
Then from there, it just seemed to open my abilities up even more, and since then, I've been doing this kind of work and helping people with their lives.
Right. Just mentioning the Ouija board there, I must say, in my own very brief experience, and what I have read of others, it doesn't appear to be a very safe or reliable form to contact spirits, and it seems to attract the lower entities, and I think that's the cause of quite some bizarre experiences that people have had. Have you knowledge of that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, a lot, who have had bad experiences with it. And I think for myself, I was just fortunate enough that, you know, my mom had known about the Ouija boards, and so she knew how to, you know, call in protection and, you know, how to really just kind of keep yourself safe and also ask for only highly evolved spirits to allow them to come through. So I think it was just, for me, more sheer luck than, you know, than me just getting on there and having no idea what I was doing. But I definitely wouldn't advise it to people who didn't have someone around them who could help walk them through it. Because low-level entities can come through on that.
Yes. It would rather appear that perhaps your gran used that as a focus to make the contact with you.
Right.
So that was nice, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And even my own spirit guides and relatives who have crossed over will kid around with me and call me a scaredy cat, because even though I do this work, I always say, I love to talk to you and I love hearing what you have to say, but I don't want to see you.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh. I'd have thought that would have been the icing on the cake if you actually saw them, but they clearly have taken note of your wishes in that connection.
Absolutely. They've been very respectful of that, which I truly appreciate.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go back really to the type of spirits that visit you, accepting that clearly up to now you're mentioning immediate relations and family. But have you had any other higher entities, say, for example, such as your guides or your teachers? Have you ever reached that level?
Absolutely. I work with my guides all the time now, and they change. Spirit guides can change throughout your lifetime. So we all have them, and there may be some that stay with us throughout our lives, but a lot of them come and go as we need them. So as we grow and mature and we start to set goals for ourselves and work on certain things in our lives, then certain guides can come in who have, say, expertise in a particular field that can help us get to the next level. So over the years, I've had many different guides that I've worked with, and they've all taught me different things. So it's been a great, great experience.
But quite clearly, they've kept you on the path that you entered, which is to help other people. What is the most interesting experiences you've ever had with a spirit?
Well, you know, what's funny is that usually when I do readings for somebody, it's usually my spirit guides that I work with. And I happen to have one client whose mom had passed away a few years ago. And her mother, in life, had a very strong personality, and she kept that personality with her when she crossed over. So I would be sitting at work at my desk, and her mother would come through very loudly to let me know that her daughter was having a problem and that the daughter needed to come and see me and that I needed to have this happen immediately. And so while, you know, I'm having this whole conversation with her about her daughter, and within 24 hours the daughter calls me and says, I need to see you. And I always say, I know your mom already came to tell me that you needed to come see me. So it's been like a standing joke that every time this girl calls me, the mother calls me 24 hours ahead of time to let me know her daughter needs to come. So, and some of them, you know, some of the spirits that come through for other people are real characters. They have great senses of humor. They can be very funny. You know, some love to gossip about things that are going on in their, you know, loved ones' lives. And others, you know, if they had a quiet type of personality in life and were kind of reserved, they can still maintain that kind of personality as they cross over, and they could be a little bit more quiet and reserved coming through with their messages as well.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say then in that event, as appears the case, that we all have spirit guides, and if so, how would we set about communicating with them?
You know, we all do have spirit guides, and I always tell people the best way that you can communicate with them, even if you can't hear them or see them, they're around you. So I always say that the best way to get to know them is that when you wake up in the morning, you just ask for their assistance. And it could either be on a problem that you may be currently having, or you can just sort of wake up and say, if there's anything I need to know today, you know, please help me with that. And what they'll do is, since they can't, you know, like I said, not everybody can see or hear them, what they'll do is they may come to you in the form of inspiration. Like all of a sudden you feel like you need to sit down at your computer and start writing something, or you feel you need to go to the nearest bookstore because there's a book there that you're supposed to read. So, you know, things like that will happen. Sometimes they may come to you in your dreams and give you messages in your dreams. So there's a lot of ways that they can communicate with us without physically being here to speak to us or talk or, you know, look at us.
Yes. I have friends who follow my own interests and have knowledge like yours, and I must say, at times, some of the most curious things have happened. I had one friend who was walking through a bookshop, and she stopped at a section which contained things on spirit, body and mind, and a book actually jumped out and fell on her. And when she looked at it, she realized it was one that she needed to read. So I wonder if our spirit guides get to work in this way, if we're in danger of walking through a bookshop and not seeing the one they know that is vital to us or necessary, they make sure somehow that we don't miss the opportunity.
You know, that's so true. They absolutely do. And, you know, it reminds me of a funny story of when my dad, who's been gone now for over 20 years, when he was living, he couldn't even put a light bulb in. I mean, he couldn't do anything handy at all around the house. And one day he came to me and he said, when you go to work tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a surprise for you, and you're going to think that it's really funny. And so I'm sitting at work, and about an hour after I get there, everything in my desk goes out. My computer dies, the fax machine dies, the phone dies, everything just dies. And nobody in the office can figure out what happened. And so they have to call an outside, you know, electricians to come in. And it took them a week to fix it, and nobody still knew what happened or what triggered it. And so that evening, my dad said, well, wasn't that funny? Because, you know, you knew I couldn't do anything electrical at all while I was living, but I thought you'd get a kick out of, you know, now all the things I can do. And he just thought in spirit that that was the funniest thing. And, you know, everybody at work still to this day, they were like, gosh, we have absolutely no idea what happened to your workstation that week, you know. And I'm like, yeah, gee, I don't know. But knowing that it was my dad who kind of came in, and because they work on energy, the spirit, so anything electronic is very easy for them to communicate to us through.
Yes, yes. I'm deviating a little bit from what we're talking about, but you remind me there that when people have or believe they have been contacted by extraterrestrials, they often report that things around them go a little bit haywire, not necessarily exactly like you've described, but it seems to confirm this idea that they carry a different type of energy that can affect us or things around us.
Yes, I absolutely believe that.
So that's interesting. So by leaving their body and entering some different level, they seem to have abilities, if we can call them that, to do different things to what they did whilst they were on the Earth. Now,
yeah.
you're clearly by any other name, a medium.
Right.
As part of your work, do you actually give your the people that come to you for help sort of readings?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I do. The only difference is that a lot of times when people go to mediums, you know, and a lot of the famous mediums that are popular now, they come through with messages specifically from the loved ones to sort of validate, you know, that it's really them. So they'll give them information you know, about maybe some things that happened during childhood or, you know, maybe pieces of jewelry that they left for them and so forth. But my guides work with me in a different way, almost more like life coaching from the other side. So that's why I go by intuitive coach, because their information comes through very much as, this is what's going on with your life right now, this is what you need to work on, and this is how you should do it. So it's sort of like very informative, very logical kind of information that they can take and apply to their day-to-day lives.
That's very good. Can you necessarily do that for everyone that comes to you, or are there occasions when perhaps that person, shall we say, is blocked from making those contacts with the other side?
You know, regardless if people can come through for them or not, like if there may be times when their passed over relatives or friends are not able to come through, but my guides are always there, so they'll come through with information for the clients. And then it's really up to the client, you know, if they're really ready to change and make their lives better, then if they take that information my guides come through with, they can apply it to their lives and, you know, have it change for the better. And if they're not ready to quite change yet, they can just kind of put that information on the back burner until they're ready to move forward.
Yes, yes. Now, I gather that in the course of, I guess, many years doing this type of work, you've studied various spiritual and holistic disciplines over the years. Does that enable you to interpret what is coming through in a way that is even of more help to the people that come to you?
I think so. I think it helps a lot because I have a background in spiritual psychology. So, you know, when my guides come through with that information, that helps people with their lives. And at the same time, because I have that background in psychology, I realize that this person is stuck and is not quite ready to make, you know, maybe some of these moves or choices that my guides are suggesting. I can also kind of incorporate that therapist kind of thing in there, too, to help them work through some of the issues.
Right. That gives you really an extra string to your bow, as you might say. Because, shall we say that other types of mediums may merely be the receiver of messages, and they don't apply it or use it in any way. They just simply pass it on.
Correct.
But you do a little bit more. And obviously, I guess the people that come to you are guided to you anyway, because they have these problems, and one assumes at that time you're best equipped to help them. Can you give any examples of where you know that the advice you've given or that's come to you from spirit people has actually had some very good results?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my clients have, you know, when people are ready to change and they're really, you know, ready to kind of get to work and improve their lives, I have one client that I worked with for a couple of years, and she was really in a bad place when she started with me, just sort of very depressed and, you know, hated her career, and there was no love life, and, you know, just everything was kind of at a standstill. And, you know, over the course of a couple of years, my guides worked with her to get her at a more emotionally stable place, and just recently she's moved to another state where she's really happy. She just met, you know, the man of her dreams like 2 months ago. She's gotten into a sort of an entrepreneurial kind of position now that she really loves. And so she really, you know, just made the changes that were necessary, and now her life is exactly on track the way she wants it to go. So for me to sit back and witness that is just sheer joy for me, because it, you know, it just validates the work that I'm doing.
Yes, that's very, very encouraging and very satisfying. Does that necessarily mean that when people are having these problems, they haven't in fact found their true path, and they're doing things maybe that because they've gone off in the wrong direction, or are they necessary experiences that they need to carry them through life?
Well, you know, it's a great question, because I honestly think it's a little bit of both. I mean, there are certain circumstances that you just have to go through in order for you to learn your lessons.
Yeah.
And then there are times, you know, even with relationships, you know, I get a lot of women that will come in and just seem to keep attracting the same type of guy over and over and over again. And, you know, I'm like, okay, the first time or two, there was probably a lesson there for you to learn. And then after a while, it seems like they start to create their own blocks. And they just can't seem to move through it. And so that's when the guides come in very handy and kind of walk them through why they're doing it and what they need to do to change.
Because of the studies that you did developing your work, did you reach any point where you came to believe that when people are born onto the earth, that they bring with them what one might call a life contract, that they set themselves certain tasks to do?
I believe that. I truly do. And I always tell people, you know, when people, because one of the questions people ask a lot is, you know, what am I supposed to do here? What is my life purpose? And what I always feel is that whatever you were born with, whatever you naturally do well and you naturally enjoy, those are your true talents, those are your true gifts, and those are what you should be doing to attain your life purpose. And some people don't even realize that, you know, some people can just have like a really great extroverted kind of personality. They work really well with people. They're able to, you know, connect people on a lot of levels. They're just really great. And they don't even realize that that is a natural born gift and ability. Because when I say that to people, they'll be like, well, I'm not an artist. You know, I can't paint or draw. I'm not a musician. I can't dance. I can't. And I'm like, you need to look at your just natural born gifts. What are you just naturally very good at? And those are always a key to the path that you're supposed to be on.
Yeah. I was reading a book quite recently based on the messages from Elias. And you reminded me of something he said in that book, which I thought was really great. He said, if it ain't fun, don't do it. That's what you're saying, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. I mean, so many people come to me and you would think the world is coming to an end because they hate their job so much that it makes the rest of their lives miserable. So I'm like, well, you know what? While you're at that miserable job and you're bringing in a paycheck, start looking into other things that you really like to do. And eventually, you know, if you need to go back to school or take some courses or whatever, do that while you still have this job and this income coming in, and then eventually it can bring you down, you know, onto the path of something that you really enjoy doing. And when you say that to people, they're always like, oh, well, I thought I either had to quit and, you know, give up all my money and benefits or, you know, just stay in this job that I hate for the rest of my life. So a lot of times people just don't realize that they do have more options than they think they do.
Now, you say that you help people with blocks and subconscious belief systems that are no longer serving them. What are you referring to when you say belief systems? Do you mean sort of religion or what kind of things?
No, not religious at all. More just, you know, sometimes people were brought up in households where, you know, they have parents who were just like, you're no good at anything, or you're lazy, or you're fat, or you're whatever. And then those words stick in those, you know, in that person's head, and they carry them into adulthood, and they still feel those same feelings of inadequacy. And so it's about, even though that's not true anymore, you know, it's just sort of like that person now still believes years later that they're still fat, or they're still not good enough, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so it's about kind of going in and having them look at that and saying, you know, that's what's blocking you because you're still, you know, feeling that you're not good enough, you know, to reach the goals that you really want to do. So it's about kind of digging a little deeper in the, from the surface and getting down to what's really going on with them.
That reminds me of my own childhood. And my mother, bless her heart, was very protective, and I was a rather, to say the least, shy young man. And if I suggested that I was going to do something a little bit different or out of the ordinary, she used to say, oh, no, you can't do that, can you? I know she was trying to be protective, so she didn't realise it. It tends to put you off because, like you're saying, you start to doubt yourself because you think your parents know you well.
Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting with that, though, you know, because she would say those type of things to you, then it would kind of, you know, bring you to go in different directions than you normally may have.
Yes.
You know, which in turn has brought you to what you're doing today as a living.
Yes. Well, the difference is that somewhere down the line, Spirit must have made an impression on me because I reached a point where I gained the belief that if anybody had the confidence in me that I could do something, I would do it, regardless of what I thought of myself. And I must say that has served me very well through the latter part of my life.
Yeah, but that's great that you were able to do that because it does sound like, you know, you definitely did have that spiritual visitation or connection where you realized something that were able to bring you now to this path that you're on now.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, also, when my spiritual interest developed and I was sort of in my very late 20s or 30s when I went on my quest for my purpose in life, I found a society that absolutely resonated with me. And straight away, although I had never given a talk to any group before, I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I was very hesitant, but I thought, okay, you can do this. You've got to go for it. So I did, and it really kicked off the path that's led me to where I am now. And when you look back, it's funny. You realize that what at the time appeared to be very minor decisions in some way are actually very important.
Yes, that's so true, because it's not always those big events or big decisions in our lives, you know, that change us. Sometimes it's just those, you know, those things that we think aren't so big or so important, but when all of those little things add up, it makes huge changes in our lives and who we are as people.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It seems like that's what happened to you too, you know, by all these little sort of changes that happened in your life that brought you to a place where, you know, like you said, you never thought you'd be, you know, getting up in front of people doing talks on
That's
certain
right, yeah.
subjects, and, you know, and now look at you. So, it's amazing.
Well, the thing is, it's like most daunting tasks in life. Once you've done it a few times, you gain confidence very rapidly.
Right.
And I've given fairly regular talks ever since, and I still do now. But I feel quite at ease. People talk about having butterflies and that type of thing, but maybe if I was talking to an audience of thousands, I might feel a bit that way, nervy. But no, I'm quite confident now. So you can change your feeling about these type of challenges. There's no two ways about that. Now, you teach psychic development through your workshops. How do you approach that? I mean, how do you get somebody to believe that they've got psychic abilities and can develop them?
Well, you know, we all have it. We're all born with it. Some of us are just more in tune to it than others. But what's fun about the workshops is that it's not about me standing up there and lecturing about something. It's really very much all hands-on kind of exercises, so that people really understand how much psychic ability they really have. And one of the fun things that I do in the workshop that anybody can do at all with friends of theirs is that, you know, you give them, you know, you give a friend of yours somebody's name, a first and last name. And, you know a lot about that person, but, you know, the person you're sharing it with doesn't know anything about the person. And it is amazing how much information a person can get from someone's name. Because what I'll do is I'll say to the students, I want you to focus on this name and see what kind of information you pick up from the person. What kind of personality do they have? You know, what do you think they look like physically? You know, just get whatever information you pick up on this name. And it is amazing how accurate people are. And once they do these kind of exercises, they're like, I had no idea I could do this.
Mm.
And they're just blown away by it.
Right. What is the
So we
object?
All have it.
Yeah? Carry on, yeah.
Yeah.
We all have it, right.
We all have it, yeah.
Yeah. I was simply going to ask you, in that event, people come to your workshops to develop their psychic talents. What are you then telling them to use them for?
You know what? I always say use it in your day-to-day life just for, you know, for decisions. You know, if perhaps you're going to take a new job that's being offered to you, you know, you can write down the name of the person you'll be working for, see what kind of, you know, feelings you get from them, see if you feel like it's going to be a good fit for you. You know, same thing with relationships or, you know, any decisions that you make in a day-to-day life. There's lots of little tools that you can use to just sit with for a few minutes and just check into your own, you know, psychic feelings, your gut feelings, and see what you feel about the situation. Because your gut feelings are always going to tell you, you know, this is a good situation, this isn't. This, you know, this doesn't feel right. But a lot of people just choose to ignore it and do it anyway.
Yes. I gather that one of your workshops, if not a regular one, talks of unleashing your inner psychic abilities in 30 days. Now, does that really work for people? I mean, it seems a relatively short period.
Yeah, it's a relatively short period, and it doesn't really take long, because what I do is, and a lot of times I do these workshops over the phone, because my people, you know, my clients live all over the country, so
yes,
and all
yes.
over the world. So what we do is we have a call once a week, you know, where everyone calls in. We have like an hour and 15-minute call, and we do a bunch of exercises, and we go, you know, do a lot of questions and answers that people have, and then I send them off with homework assignments. And then, you know, we check in every week. And it's just, you know, by giving people exercises and actually having them focus on these things every day by doing something a little, you know, just like 5 or 10 minutes a day on something, it starts to open them up, and they start to become aware of things that they weren't aware of before. And that's all about tuning into your own psychic abilities. It doesn't, you know, it's not a huge thing that you have to go to school for 20 years. It's just about having an awareness of how it works and how to tune into it.
Right. Do you do those workshops regularly?
I usually hold them about maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Right.
Yeah, and they're a lot of fun, and people, you know, I make it fun and people really enjoy it. And then they have each other to practice on. So, you know, they have, I make sure everybody has everyone's, you know, information so that they can, you know, practice on different things with each other. And it's just, it's a lot of fun, and it creates a nice little network.
Yes. But would part of your advice be to people trying to become psychic in that way to listen to what they call that little voice in their head?
Well, the best advice is basically just to, you know, we all have those gut feelings, or we all have those, you know, when the phone rings and you know who's on the other end of it,
those
kind of things. It's just about being, all it is really is the word awareness, you know, just being aware of how you're feeling about something before you actually make a decision on it. So, you know, awareness is really the key. And a lot of times people make very emotional decisions on things instead of giving themselves a minute just to tune in and see how they actually feel about it and if it feels right to them. And a lot of times they just bypass that and make an emotional decision, and that's where a lot of the mistakes come in.
Yes. So it's really a matter of taking note of your feelings and following them, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of times, even, you know, because of course one of the big things in life is, you know, relationships, and a lot of people would say, oh, you know, I just had a feeling that he was cheating on me, or, you know, I just had that feeling that something wasn't right with him, but I just chose to ignore it, or, you know, thought it would get better, or whatever it was. But that feeling that they had was there, you know, a long time ago, and gave them all these signs, but they chose to ignore it. So it's just about tuning in and being aware.
Yes, yes. I hope the people that have come to your workshops really take that in and take note of it. Do they ever come back at some later time and give you a sort of progress report?
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them do. And the thing is, it's usually always very positive, because, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, I did this exercise, or I did, you know, I applied this thing that we learned in class, and it really works well for me. So, you know, different things work for different people. You know,
yeah,
so I change up the exercises and try to give them enough variation that I know that at least one thing will resonate with them, you know, that they can take and use going forward in their lives.
Yeah. Does that include courses on how to meditate or do particular types that you probably recommend?
You know, mine don't focus on so much meditation, although I do include that because I think it's very important, as much as different tools you can use. Like, some people really like to use pendulums, you know, and other people may sort of gravitate towards, you know, like using tarot cards or something like that, or, you know, just holding objects of somebody. Like, if you hold somebody's watch, you may be able to get some, it's called psychometry. You know, you may be able to pick up energy from something like that. So I give them a lot of different tools to try, and then there's usually one of or two of those that really work for them.
I get the impression that using a pendulum, most people seem to have that ability, and I think it's perhaps somewhat similar to dowsing. Did you find that to be the case?
Yes, I absolutely do. And I think it's a wonderful tool. I love the pendulum, and I always give it out as part of, you know, like the workbook and so forth with my classes. I always include a pendulum because I think anybody just starting out in this and trying to tune into their psychic abilities, having the pendulum is just a great tool for them to start working with. And it's fun. You know, everybody I know who I've given it to and has worked with it, it's just so amazed. You know, when having so much fun with it. So that's one of my favorite tools to give people to start off with.
Well, it's certainly very simple to try and use, but do you think perhaps some people can become too dependent on it without making up their mind without using the pendulum?
Yes, and I always warn them about that. That's a really good point. And I'm like, you know, start off with this and just, you know, it's easy, it's fun. And then some people will write to me and they're like, now I'm really addicted to this, though. And so, you know, I tell them to, you know, to back off using it, don't use it every day, and then just to start using their own intuition. And then, you know, it's sort of like a pacifier. You know, they start off with that and they really like it, and then you start to wean them off of it, and then they really just start to tune into the feelings that they're getting inside, and they go from there, so... You know, it's like having training wheels on a bike.
Well, I asked you that one in particular because I happen to have a very good friend of mine who at one time used to use it consistently, even to the point of checking food that he was eating, whether he should go on holiday to a certain place. Now, I don't suppose it did him a lot of harm, but I did feel that it was beginning to control his life.
Yes. I've heard so many stories about that, and I totally agree with you that people can get carried away with that. So, but, you know, it's great if you can start off with it just to sort of introduce yourself into that, you know, into that realm, and it does help you to tune into your, you know, your psychic powers. And then you don't really need it after a while. You know, it's just sort of like to get you up and running.
I think a lot of what you've been talking about really comes down to being intuitive, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And like I said, we all have it, but just so many people walk around and they're so unaware of it. But once you tune into it and you gain that awareness of it, then you start looking at things differently and you start making decisions differently. So, you know, it's helpful to all of us.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'd like you to talk a little bit about some other things here, connected with yourself, of course. I read that you do a bi-monthly radio spot. What do you do in that? Do you do the same sort of thing? Talk about how you can release your blocks and that sort of thing? That's your forte, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of a quick little, it's like a little 2-minute spot. And so it's like, you know, just maybe, you know, five easy ways to, you know, meditate, or, you know, 10 tips on how to, you know, increase your intuition, or, you know, like those kind of things. It's just like a, you know, quick little easy things that people can do. So, because if people are skeptical, they don't want a long, involved answer on something. They just want to be like, okay, well, let me give, try it really quickly and see how I like it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So if people are interested in hearing that in the future, tell them which station you're on and how they can connect with it.
Well, you know, oddly enough, just about a week ago, the radio station just switched formats. So it's now starting up a new one in another state, so I'm just kind of waiting for that to happen.
Okay,
so at the moment, it's in flux.
But that will, of course, that information will appear on your website. So having said that, tell them the address of your website.
It's very easy. It's just my name, JanaHollingsworth.com, and that's JanaHollingsworth.com.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Now, I believe it's, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you have actually the question and answer articles on your website as well. Is that correct?
You know, I actually have them on, there's a famous astrologer, and it's under the name of astroabby.com. And it's a famous astrologer's website, and I have my own column on there. So people write in every week. It's sort of like Dear Abby. You know, people would write in questions about their lives, and I pick a question each week and answer it, and it gets posted on her website. And, you know, people can ask about anything or anyone, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, now I'm going to put this information on the write-up on BBS Radio. But perhaps for people listening in, can you spell out that website address?
Sure. It's astroabby, astroabby.com.
And they
can feel free to write in any question they'd like to know about. And if I choose their question, I will answer them personally, but it will also be posted on the website as well.
That's fine, yes. Now, you're a lady of many talents, because I gather you also do monthly articles, and I read one which was called The Benefits of Giving. So tell our listeners how they can benefit from giving.
Well, you know, all of us can. And sometimes it's not, you know, people are like, well, I don't have time to give, or I don't have the money to give, or, you know, and most of the time it's just about saying a nice word to somebody, or holding a door open for somebody, or, you know, it's something very simple. But when you give of yourself, and it only takes a second, or even when you smile at somebody, you know, it just sort of acknowledges them that, you know, you're acknowledging their presence and that they're there, or give somebody a compliment and tell them they look nice. It's very little things, but it means a lot to others.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we can all do, and it just, it doesn't take anything away from us, but it can give a lot to others.
I agree with that. I do something very similar, quite consciously. I leave home early in the morning to get my daily paper, because I'm retired. I don't have to worry about going to work. And I tend to see the same sort of people walking to and from the news agents, the same as I do. And I've got into the habit of always saying good morning to them. And, of course, it comes a point where they anticipate it when they see you, but they smile and then they start to talk to you, and it can really open up that link with people.
Oh, absolutely, and I love that you do that, because that's such a perfect example of giving. You know, it doesn't take anything away, but now it's adding something to your life as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's nice, I think. Anything you do or say that can make people smile, I think must uplift them.
I agree, and I love it. I think that's wonderful that you do that. And, you know, especially I live out here in Los Angeles, where there's a lot of traffic. And so you always hear on the news every night about road rage, you know, and people just, you know, shooting each other on the freeways out here, and it can be crazy. So it's like, you know, let somebody cut, you know, it's okay, let somebody in traffic, you know, don't worry that they cut you off and things, but it's just sort of like, it's okay. You know, it's not going to, at the end of the day, it's not going to mean anything. So, you know, all those little kind of things add up, and it just, it makes you feel better inside, and it also puts a smile on someone else's face, which is what it's all about.
Indeed. Wonderful. I think that's what life is about. We tend to be maybe reserved and keep ourselves to ourselves, but saying good morning or a kind word or a nice word doesn't offend anybody, does it?
No, not at all. And it's just, you know, just you saying hi to somebody or smiling at somebody in line at the grocery store or whatever, it could make their day. They could be having a very bad day, and just someone saying hello is like, oh, you know, that's so nice.
Right, now what I'm going to ask you about is something a little bit different to the main theme here. We're not in any rush to end the program, but we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Tell us about your dog work, because I believe that had quite an impression on you. May I tell our listeners, there's a lovely photograph of you on your website with your best friend, who appears to be a poodle.
It's actually a Bedlington Terrier.
Oh, dear me, I made a mistake there. It looks a little bit like a poodle to me.
Yeah, they do. People either think it's a poodle or a lamb.
Oh,
so I get
right.
that all the time. Are you walking your lamb or your poodle?
But
I'm a huge, huge, huge animal lover, huge dog lover. And actually, the dog that is with me in that picture just passed away a few months ago.
Oh, what a
shame. I have another one, the same breed, that I have now, a little puppy. And it was funny because when my dog passed, I waited a few months to get another one. And I said to her spirit, when I spoke to her, I said, you know, I'm leaving it up to you to pick out the, you know, the perfect puppy for, you know, our family. And I'm just going to kind of, you know, leave it in your hands. And out of the blue, I just got a call one day from this breeder who happened to breed Bedlington Terriers, and she literally called me up and just said, I have your puppy. And that was it.
Lovely, yes. Right.
And we drove to Arizona, picked her up, and we've been blissfully happy ever since. So
that's nice to hear.
And it's too, because I can still communicate with her. You know, what she's doing and that she's doing well, and so that, you know, it brings me a lot of peace too.
Well, that's lovely, and I'm sure the reverse happens. I think our pets have a lot more understanding of our feelings and what we're thinking as well than we believe.
And no, there's no question about that. And you hear all the time about the bonds people have with their animals, and it's truly a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about your work in the animal shelter, because I believe that made quite an impression on you, which has come out maybe in your work.
Yeah, it really has. Years ago, I worked for a wonderful big record company out here in Los Angeles, and the guy who owned it was very much into doing volunteer work. And so he encouraged everybody in the company to do it. And you could do any kind, whatever your interests were, you could do it. And I have a love for animals. So I volunteered at one of the local shelters here. And it just impressed me to no end that it was a no-kill shelter. And it was run by a woman who had to be in her late 80s and spent all her time just rescuing these, you know, beautiful animals who had no homes and were going to be killed if it wasn't for her. And, you know, other than volunteers coming in to help out, she was pretty much, you know, on her own and had hundreds of, you know, dogs and cats there. So it was really such an honor, you know, to be able to go and just to help her out, you know, feed them and walk them and, you know, just spend time there and just to watch her and see how dedicated she was to this. And it was just an amazing, amazing thing, and it made you look and say, okay, if somebody who is this age, who had her own health issues, was putting everything she had into saving these dogs, like, I certainly can spend a few hours a week coming in and walk them, you know, and play with them. So it's just, you know, when people, I mean, that was her true calling, and it was so obvious because she had so much passion for it. So it was incredibly inspiring.
So you saw through that how giving and caring, obviously, is not confined to animals. You translated that into the same giving and caring where other human beings were concerned.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, it just made you see, when I walked in there, it was like I saw that the whole picture so beautifully because of her passion and compassion, you know, for all these wonderful animals. Then other people wanted to come in and help her because she was so passionate, you know, she was so good, and they wanted to be good to her and help her out. So it was just, you know, it just kept paying itself forward. You know, people just kept wanting to come and help and donate. And so yeah, it was just, it was a great, great experience.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear these people that have so much dedication to animals in that way. They must be extremely lovely people to know.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, the other thing is, too, I think it really gave her a true purpose, and it kept her going and her alive and her young, you know, because
yes,
she had lost her husband, and I don't know that she had much family around here. So these animals and the people who volunteered were her family.
Yeah.
You know, so the animals were helping her just as much as she was helping them. So it was just, it was great for everybody all the way around.
Yes, I think our animals can teach us a lot, whether they be dogs, cats, horses, or whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yes, yes. Because they are very dependent on their owners, aren't they? And if you haven't got the right attitude, it must be pretty awful for the animal. I mean, it may even lead to cruelty, I suppose. Now, Jana, it's been extremely interesting. The time has flown by here.
It really
I've got
has.
To announce next week's guest in a minute or so.
Okay.
Have you got a final message for our listeners before I thank you and let you go?
You know, I just honestly, I encourage everybody to tune into their own intuition, because we all have it. And, you know, just listen to your gut feeling. If something doesn't feel right to you, then don't do it. And just, you know, really tap in and listen to that. And I think it can help to lead you down the path to make a lot of very good decisions for yourself.
Right, that's fine. That's very good advice. Thank you very much for coming on to my program. It's been very enjoyable. And I think we covered your work very well in the time we had. So
yes,
I wish you all the success in the future. And
great.
For my listeners, I will say that my guest next Friday will be Nancy Lee, who works as a spiritual teacher. So my questions will be based mainly on that subject. She is a psychic medium as well, and she's also been involved in paranormal research, and she has written two books, one called Awakening the Mystic and the other one, The Voices of Light. So again, that should be a very interesting program. So I hope you can be with me then, and I will thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you.